It's the 15th day of July, 2018, in the year of our Lord. At Zion Baptist Church, Titus chapter 1, verse 9. I was thinking this morning, as I was up at 3 o'clock this morning, reading and studying, praying, and some of the things that I was reading, I thought, you know, all the elect of God are born twice and will die once. All the reprobates and heathens are born once and will die twice.
That's right.
It's a sad thing, but it's the truth. And even though we look for the fullness of the Jews and the fullness of the Gentiles, enter ye in at the straight gate, in the narrow way.
That's right.
Because few there be that find it. And that's a sad thing, but it's the truth. It's the words of the Lord Jesus. And we'll talk about those some today because they're part of holding fast the faithful word. And that's the title of the message. That's what it says in verse 9 of Titus 1, holding fast the faithful word. And verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word today, these instructions and qualifications for elders, pastors, bishops. Lord, help your servant today, Lord, that he may be able to feed your sheep. Lord, feed your sheep through your servant. Let me put it that way, because it's you doing the feeding. I'm just a tool in your hand. And let it always be so, O God. Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon your people. Enlighten the word to them today, that it might be beneficial to them, that they may be encouraged, that they may be exhorted. The Lord Jesus be exalted, and God the Father honored, and God the Holy Spirit pleaded with to come down, so that this all not be in vain. Help us now, Lord, we pray. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's all about doctrine, brethren. It's all about doctrine. Doctrine is in the book, the New Testament, more than 49 times. Some of it may be talking about the doctrines of devils, and whatnot, doctrines that ought to be avoided, like those of the scribes and the Pharisees. But it's all about doctrine, the doctrine of the Lord Jesus and the doctrine of the apostles. The doctrine of the apostles was just a continuation of the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read earlier this morning in the Great Commission, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And that's what they did. And there were some things that had to be after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that the apostles would teach, and doctrine that they would explain. And doctrine is nothing more than instructions to the church, to God's people. That's what doctrine is. Now, men have categorized them, given them names, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. It makes it easier to teach and to learn and to understand what we believe and what we don't believe. Certainly makes it easier to express, like the doctrine of salvation. We who are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And even that has to be broken down and explained in detail for a more clear understanding of the doctrine of salvation. Now, it's everywhere in the Scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation. You can find it everywhere, and every bit of it adds something to the understanding of salvation. And it's very important that we understand the doctrine of salvation with all the other doctrines. There's doctrine right here in Titus 1 and 2, instructions to the church. What we just read was one of the instructions to the church, that if you're going to have an elder or bishop or a pastor, you make sure If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of right or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort the hearers and to convince the gainsayers. And convince them through great love for them, and convince them so that the children of God, the elect of God, won't be taught lies by them. And to convince them, be able to, by the Holy Scriptures, to convince them. Let's before we go on to some of our other scriptures, let's just read on here a little bit. Because this is doctrine. This is some of the best doctrine instructions to the church that can be read anywhere. These instructions, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Yeah. The reason that these preachers, elders, bishops, are to be able to hold fast the faithful word, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince gainsayers, is because there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. They were trying to bring in the old Judaism back and bring it into the church. Keep their old rituals and stuff going right on, that the people had to be circumcised, that they had to eat certain foods and could eat certain foods. And they still do that today. You've got the Seventh-day Adventists. You can't eat this and you can't eat that. He's talking about that very subject right here. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake, for money's sake. You've got preachers doing that. They'll leave one church and go to another because they get another nickel out of them. More per sermon or per week or whatever. I don't understand that. Well, I do understand it. They're doing the same thing that these Judaizing so-called professors of Christianity were doing. They were trying to mooch money out of the church and out of these people where they were going from house to house. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Now, some of these people were just actually ignorant because they left Jerusalem when they heard Peter preach and they carried Christianity back to the island where they were at, and they just kind of made up the rules as they went. And these Jews that some of them truly saved come back and didn't understand and did not know, went to adding things to the church that were not right. And Paul told Titus, I'm leaving you there to set things in order and to make up, set things in order that are lacking. In other words, them knowing how to live, them knowing how to be Christian people. And so the Apostle Paul here is making it very clear to Titus what to teach them and giving them instructions. And this is good doctrine. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. There is a truth that the Lord Jesus taught. Now, I commend these Jews that came back, believe they were converted, and some of them converted and come back to these islands and started preaching Christ or teaching Christ. But when the apostle got there, he saw all the errors and the troubles that they were having there. And so, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. he's talking about that very thing of what you can eat and what you cannot eat. The same thing that Peter saw, the Apostle Paul here is fulfilling and telling again that unto the pure of heart, you can eat anything you want to eat. Everything's pure to you. You give the Lord thanks for it and ask Him to bless it and you just have at it if you want it. But to the unbeliever, nothing's pure. Not even the stuff that he says is pure and clean to eat. And that's not pure either. Even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. Cast away. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. There it is again. We've already read it in our sound doctrine in verse 9 there. Now here it is again. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Good instructions, sound instructions, the things that the Lord Jesus taught and the things that the apostles have taught. Don't just go making up your own. And don't just go around believing that whatever I believe, as long as I believe it, it's okay. I've heard, let me not call them idiots, I've heard preachers say that. Behind the sacred desk. As long as you believe it. Well, no. That's not right.
Amen.
That's not right. That's what these people were doing. They were believing things that was a lie. They were believing false teachers coming in there and teaching them things to turn back to Judaism and add Judaism to Christianity. That you had to have both in order to be saved. And that's a lie. Only thing you got to have to be saved is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. There it is again. Sound in the faith. In charity, in patience. The aged women likewise. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. The apostle was laying down some law here. The same thing that the Lord Jesus taught over. Now you want to know what the Lord Jesus taught for doctrine? You can start in Matthew chapter 5 and just keep reading. Just keep reading. Because these two chapters, 5, 6, and 7, there, chapters 5, 6, and 7, where Jesus taught the Scriptures. He taught the people what the Old Testament prophets knew, believed, and lived. And the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people down through the ages had messed it all up. Through their traditions and commandments of men, like he said here. They just made up stuff. They might not have understood or known something, and they just make up stuff. Like a lot of preachers do today. You ask them a question, they'll give you an answer. May not be the right answer, but they'll give you an answer. But what they ought to say is, the Scripture says, now, I'm sure that there's places that never preach on these instructions to the church. Especially these to the aged men, the aged women, and the young women, that they should be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed, to raise up their children in sound doctrine of the Scriptures. They won't get taught that in school unless they go to a good, God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian school. They'll get taught some of these things, not all of it. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. He's telling Titus, now you tell them. You tell them and make sure that they understand this is how the old men's supposed to behave themselves. This is how the old women's supposed to behave themselves. This is what the young women's supposed to do. They're to be keepers at the home.
Amen.
That's how they raise their children. My grandmother couldn't raise her 9 children in the love and admonition of the Lord if she'd have been at a factory somewhere.
Amen.
She had to be at home. The keeper of the home. And raise her children. Oh, it's all about keeping up with the Joneses these days. And you got to make enough money. And you can live off of a lot less and have children at least talk the Word of God as they're coming up.
Amen.
At least they'll have the instructions from the Lord, from the parents, that they ought to have, and knowing how to live and how they ought to do anyway. Even exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Well, so much for them people that don't believe in slavery.
That's right.
Now, I don't think that you ought to go steal men or women and hold them in bondage. But there's certainly nothing wrong with a person being a slave. My granddaddy was a sharecropper. You can call him a slave if you wanted to, but that's what he was. He was a bond slave where he slaved himself out. You feed me and my family, give us a place to stay, and we'll take care of your place for you. We'll pick your crops and plant your crops, get them in for you. Just take care of us.
Yeah.
That's a slave. That's exactly what they did. And my granddaddy was one of them. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and please them well in all things, not answering again, no back talk, no back lip, not purloining, not extorting them, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. You see, just because a person's a slave doesn't mean he can't be saved.
Amen.
And worship God and do what's right toward his master. I don't see how folks should. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Has it really? Has the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men? I'm going to say there's some Buddhists over yonder that's never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to say there's maybe some of those African tribes over there, never been out of the jungle, that's never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's appeared to all kind of men, hasn't it?
That's right.
All over the world. All kind of men. It's appeared to. Where was I supposed to stop reading that here? Well, I went way further than I intended to, I think. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I went a little too far than I wanted to in chapter 2 there, but still good doctrine. Still good doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just turn back a page or two and you'll be there. Now, This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Turn away from these kinds of people and how they live, these false teachers and these ungodly people that love themselves more than they love God and love pleasure more than they love God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Having a form of godliness. In other words, they put on a show that they're church-going people. And here the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, another preacher of the gospel, you make sure them people understand from these kind of people you turn away from. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of the gospel that saves a man. Nowadays, all you got to do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Come down and say a sinner's prayer. You don't have to live godly, holy lives. And the young women don't have to be discreet and chaste and keepers at home. You can do anything you want to and live any way you want to if you accept Jesus your personal Savior. Just write it down in the book somewhere so you don't forget it. From such turn away.
Amen.
For of this sort are they which creep into houses, same way he told Titus, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. As Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest or made known unto all men, as theirs also was. Because of the true preaching of the gospel. And look, not just myself and Brother Thomas Ray do it. I'm sure every one of you do as you go about your daily lives and see people and talk to people. You can fill them with the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm not through here. I wanted to go a little further than this. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Paul tells Timothy. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Children need to know that. Children need to be raised up knowing the Scriptures, because it'll make them wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, just reading the book, just knowing the words is very helpful and very beneficial to anybody. But when it's added to faith that's given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a fruit of the Spirit of the living God given to us. It is a gift, Ephesians 2:8 says. It's a gift from God. But how much more opportunity children have if they have this doctrine instilled in them as a child. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for ourselves. It's profitable for our children. It's profitable for our community. It's profitable for this whole world. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, before God, Paul tells Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as is appearing in His kingdom, preach the word and be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In other words, preach the truth of God's word. And preach it everywhere you go. Preach it all the time. We've been enlisted in the service of our God. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Meaning the people having itching ears, as well as the teachers having itching ears. Teach me something new. Oh, and I know people now. I know people that just love new things. And they look for new things. They read Witness Lee and Watchman Nee and try to find something that you don't know about so they can impress you with how smart they are. And you can't get any smarter by reading Watchman Nee and Witness Lee than you can by reading the Word of God.
Amen.
Just read the book. The Spirit of God will lead you and guide you and enlighten you and illuminate His Word for you, such that you'll be able to convince the gainsayers. You'll be able to exhort and comfort your hearers by the good sound doctrine of the Scriptures. Because there's nothing better than good sound doctrine. When a person's laying on their deathbed, you can give them great comfort by good sound doctrine. Like every believer is born twice, but only dies once. He's only going to cross Jordan one time. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Like they're doing these days in these modern day churches. Some of them jumping around and bouncing around, flipping over pews and slapping them in the head and knocking them to the floor. Some of them telling jokes from behind the sacred desk so people will laugh and they can be entertained and feel real good about themselves and come back next Sunday and we'll do it again another day just like it. That's what people are turning to. You want to know why they go to them places? You want to know why them kind of churches have a whole lot more folks than we do here at Zion? It's because they're entertained. They make them feel good. Even at those charismatic and Pentecostal type churches where they babble and run and jump and flip backflips and fall out and hit the floor, they're entertained by that. They get their emotions all moving and they can run around and holler and shout and fall out and people can watch them and see them. That entertains them. They're entertained by each other. As well as the preacher will go to acting crazy. I tell you what, I may be crazy, but I can read and I know exactly what's happening in these churches today. They're not hearing the truth of God's Word. They're not hearing sound doctrine. They don't teach their women how to behave themselves, how to obey their husbands. They don't teach the men how they're supposed to know the Word of God and be teaching their own families the Word of God, not depending on some preacher to do it. They are to know the Word of God. They are to read the Word of God. Just read the book. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. In other words, all Christian people are looking for the Lord Jesus and can't wait for him to get here. Amen. Come on, Lord Jesus. They love his appearing. And not just his last appearing. I mean, his final appearing. They love his appearing while they read the book.
Amen. Good.
They can see him. They know when they read the book. And the Lord turns the lights on. Like, whew, look at that. Never saw that before. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What time is it? I left off my notes a while ago when I got to chasing rabbits there a little bit about the doctrine of salvation. Now, there's different places that you can go. Now, these are good instructions for the church, especially when it comes to knowing if the preacher's doing his job or not, in Titus and in Timothy here. But turn with me to John chapter 10. Boy, I was reading that this morning. I remember when I was going to Mississippi College, and I can't remember the old brother's name. But boy, he'd get to reading the scriptures, and he lived in the next building across from us. He lived in the next building, and I could hear him shouting. He'd be sitting there reading the Bible, and the Lord would open his eyes to something, and he'd stick his head out the window and wave for me to come on. Go over. He just loved to read the Word of God and to preach the Word of God. He was a dear brother. John chapter 10. We won't read all of this. We won't have time, but it helps clear up this doctrine of salvation. It gives a whole beautiful picture. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. In other words, if it's not salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, you're a thief and a robber. You got in some other way. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Just like he's done every believer since Adam. Every one of them are all saved the same way. He gives them faith. They believe. They're convicted that they're lost sinners in need of the Savior. And before in the Old Testament, they looked ahead to what Christ was going to do when he appeared on this earth. And now we look back to what he's already done, but they're all saved the same by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now that's a Christian. That's one of the sheep. If you want to know whether or not you're a sheep, whether or not you're truly born from above, do you follow the Lord Jesus? Because he says they follow him. He leadeth them out. He calls them by name. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's the appearing. That when you're reading the scriptures and he opened your eyes to something that is comforting, something that is convicting, something that puts you to shame because you've not done it or you've done things you ought not to have done. And you follow the Lord Jesus like blind Bartimaeus. Follow the Lord Jesus. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. When he says all that came before him were those false prophets and false priests and lying preachers and all that came before the Lord Jesus that did not teach the truth of the sacrifices and didn't teach the truth of all the shadows and all the types and figures in the temple and all the things that they were supposed to be teaching them and they didn't. Of course, blindness on their part sure was a helpful thing for us, wasn't it? Blindness on them Jews' part, I mean. It sure got us grafted in. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now that clears up salvation a whole lot for me. It tells me who is saved and who's not saved. It tells me that he has his people and he calls them sheep and he gives his life for the sheep. He doesn't give his life for the goats. He doesn't give his life for reprobates that's going to hell. He did not give his life for those people. The ones that God the Father gave him in the covenant of peace in eternity past, those are the ones that he died for. Those are the ones that's going to come to him. Those are the ones that we're looking to preach to. We're looking to preach to everybody. But we sure do like it when one of them sheep goes to... What do? I forgot the noise they make. What they... Bleating? We sure do like it when one of them sheep go to bleating. Let me read just a little bit more here. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That clears up salvation for me. Makes it real clear and plain that my dependence is on the shepherd. And I'm a little sheep. And I'm to do what he says. I hear his voice, and he knows me, and I know him. How do you know him, preacher? Read the book. Just read the book and keep reading it. And have a hunger to know it, a thirsting about it that you just... The more you read the book, the more you're going to know the Lord. The more you're going to know him, and he knows you. And you'll learn that when you're praying and when you're talking to the Lord, when you go into your closet and close the door, isn't that what the Lord Jesus said? Oh, that was over in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Don't do like the scribes and the Pharisees and put on your long coats and go to church and say the big long prayers and have big repetitions of the same thing over and over." He said, but when you go into your closet and you close the door. There's where you have communion and talk to the Lord. That's how you get to know Him and know that He's right there. Because not only are you talking to Him, but He's talking back to you. You can hear Him, not with that, but you can hear Him inside. And you know Him. Well, I didn't come nowhere close to getting through. I still wanted to read some in 2 Timothy and Titus 3:5, Ephesians 2:8, Acts 13, John chapter 1, chapter 3. We'll take that up next time because we're going right back to the same place. How about that? Brother Gow, you ask the Lord's blessings on us and we'll be dismissed.